Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 it's Clean Keys, Real Talk, episode 130. Back at you live and direct on another Friday night show, that Friday night vibe. You don't know what it, you don't know how it usually is. Nothing different from the script this time. What's up, bro? How we doing?
Oh, man. It's going down tomorrow, dog. It's going down tomorrow.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm very excited. I'm pumped, actually. And it's even more hype because at the same time, like, I know you were watching the weigh-ins. I haven't seen the weigh-ins. I just saw, like, a clip of it on Twitter, but I didn't actually watch it. I'm glad everybody made weight. At the same time, I'm actually watching the Khabib Ferguson presser as we speak, and the presser is crazy. Man, this is crazy. You know, I always talk about mental warfare. Ferguson is going to the T with the mental warfare here. He even brought his belt on the stage. Khabib kicked his belt off the stage. Man, this thing is crazy. The face-off was very intense.
And I love it. And I love it. I think Ferguson has done something no fighter has done to Khabib, and that's getting his head. Even Conor couldn't get in his head. But you could actually see in his eyes that Ferguson was in his head a little bit. And I like it.
And the thing, too, is that, like, I mean, just looking at it is the little remarks that Ferguson is making. Almost everything that he is saying, Khabib is responding to. That's a big difference with McGregor, is that McGregor was saying a lot of things that Khabib really wasn't giving into, and we all know that, is that if you were to argue with somebody, typically the more that you allow yourself to react, the more involved in it you are emotionally, because your reactions pretty much kind of create your emotions, and that's pretty much what we're seeing with Khabib Ferguson present here, is Khabib pretty much... Ferguson was getting a rise out of Khabib with almost everything that he was saying and everything that he was doing. As where with the McGregor presser, he really wasn't getting any reaction from Khabib. Khabib was, and I'm sure they went into that thinking that way, like, you know, don't let him do this to you, da da da. But Ferguson really, to the T, man, with the method warfare, I'm pumped for this fight. I almost wish they were fighting tomorrow. It's exciting, man.
Hey, man. The funny part is this. I think if Ferguson wins the mental warfare game, which he's winning at the presser, and with what he was doing at the face-off, I think one or two things will happen. I think you will see an emotional Khabib in a fight that we never seen before. I mean, he was emotional with Conor, but he didn't wear it on his face. He wasn't emotional until after the fight. And if he comes in emotional, I think that gives Ferguson advantage, man. And secondly, if he's emotional, does he go away from his game plan? Does he try to stand up and fight with Tony instead of using what got him here? I think that's something we got to watch out for, man. We got to watch and see how he is leading up to the fight. Is he emotional? Can we see him wearing his emotions? And if he is emotional, does it affect the way he fights?
Well, because a big thing here, too, is, I would think that, and this is going a little bit more deeper into it, you know, into the layers a little bit more, but I mean, if I was Ferguson's camp, if I was his camp, I would say we're going into this with plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, plan E, F. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm them, I'm going with many different routes, that, you know, and ways to change up depending on how the fight goes, because it could go many ways. But, and I'm sure he's doing that because he's a multifaceted fighter anyways, so he usually comes with with all the weapons in his arsenal anyways. But I'm you know, where this fight has been so off and on and the build-up has been so long, Ferguson's dying to fight, man. Just seeing him in the face-off, he is locked in. He even brought the belt. Got me excited, bro. He brought the belt back. The interim belt, the old UFC belt.
Yeah, man. When I saw that you sent me the tweet, I was like, "What the hell is this?" And then when I saw your text, I was like, "Hold up!" So I went and looked. I was like, "Oh snap!" So I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna watch it after we get off. But yeah, man. Hey, you know what, Keys? Before we jump into what we're gonna jump in, I know that what we said we was gonna talk about, but I gotta ask you this question, bro. Because maybe you can give me an answer. This Sugar Sean O'Malley thing, dog. Okay, I'm looking at his record. Okay, he got an okay record. He really ain't fought nobody. Why is this dude such a fan favorite? Everybody loves this guy. And it's like, what has he done to deserve all this love? I know what Adesanya has done to deserve all this, all the love he get in his couple of fights he done had in the UFC. But I don't see why O'Malley is getting all this love.
I think Sean O'Malley was a Contender Series guy. I want to say he came from the Contender Series.
Yes,
so
he did.
I think he gained popularity in the Contender Series first. So I think that definitely helped it a lot. He made a name for himself there. And then after that, I think it's just like, you know, he's not afraid to do interviews. He got, you know, seems like a pretty positive guy. He got, you know, the personality is there. And it's the fro, man. I feel like it's the fro. Fans love the fro. Could you disagree with that?
I sure hope it isn't the hair, dog. I sure hope it isn't in here, dog. But, yeah, man, because I wrote an article on him, and, you know, because they were talking about, you know, he was coming back after his suspension, and, you know, I wrote the article about why he was suspended, and, you know, his weed interests and stuff like that. But when I was writing the article, I really couldn't reflect on his fighting career, because I really didn't know much about his fighting career. But then today when he walked off of the weigh-in, it seemed like the place just erupted. Like he was like he was Beyonce or something. I was like, man, what the hell is going on? So I just thought you would like have some insight on it.
Nah, I'm really not sure. I haven't lately. I'm not really sure, but I know he does with the sunglasses, and he is a big weed smoker, too. So I think fans usually attract to the big weed smokers because, you know, everybody loves weed now. So.
Yeah, because I know he was saying that he got his own strain of weed. I want to say that some kind of Granddaddy Kush or something, because I wrote about it. I can't remember. It was so long ago. But look, man. I know we got a lot to talk about tonight, but before we get into the fight this weekend, I got to ask you this. Because of what happened in Norfolk last week, and because of what he said, Triple Cringe, I'm sorry, Henry Cejudo, he said that after he fights Aldo, he's going to go fight for the 125 belt again. Now, I think he's full of trash, but, you know, maybe he might go back down to 125. Do you think he gonna go back down to 125?
I don't really think he will. I don't really understand why he would. That's a confusing move right there, because I don't understand why he would not fight and then let them strip the belt, and then once there's a flyweight title fight, then get hype again and say he wants it. I think he might just
I want to say he's just in the moment because he saw the flyweight title go, like, he saw the belt on the line again. And especially since it was Davison that won, and then he couldn't win the belt. Cejudo, like, made a tweet saying that he defended the belt from his couch.
Yeah, I heard that.
He was feeling gassed because of the fact that there was a flyweight title fight, but still not a new champion. So I think that just got him a little bit hyped, but I think he's just all talk. I don't think he's going to go back down.
I don't think he's going to go back down. I think he's one of those guys that's a prisoner on the moment, and he likes to basically be a media whore. So I think he's full of trash when he said that. And saying that if he was to go back down to 125, I don't think he would fare well because he probably hasn't fought at 125 since the T.J. Dillashaw fight. And that's been a while ago. So I don't see it. But, you know, you never know what'll happen in the UFC because they tend to do stuff that we find puzzling as fans, and they tend to let champions call their shot. And I think if Cejudo wanted to do it, they would let him do it. They would probably bump Benavidez and put Cejudo in there against Davison Figueiredo.
Well, I heard they're doing the rematch.
Yeah, that came out this week. Dana say he's trying to work that out. I like Benavidez, but I'm starting to think that he's like Cowboy Cerrone. When he fights for the belt, he's just a no-show. He might be a guy that's just a good fighter. That's a good fighter, great talent. That's just not meant to be champion. I mean, that doesn't take away from his skill or nothing like that. That doesn't say he's not a good fighter. But some guys just don't live up to the moment of being a champion. Cowboy Cerrone has done that. Alexander Gustafsson has done that. There's been quite a few people that have done that. So, you know, it's not the knock that he probably won't be a future Hall of Famer, but maybe he's just not meant to be a champion.
Yeah, that could very well be. I mean, now he's 0-3 in his title fight, so that's pretty bad. But I don't know. I mean, at the same time, I didn't even see the fight. I kind of wish I saw the fight, but I'm going to try to watch the rematch now that they're going to go again. I want to ask you about this, too. While we're at it and before we get into the 248 stuff, I want to ask you about boxing real quick, because I don't think I got
okay.
I think this is in between the last show and this one, but your boy Deontay Wilder has officially exercised his rematch clause. And I see that the trilogy fight is set for, I want to say, in July in Vegas. So what is your official take on Wilder cashing in his Money in the Bank rematch?
Damn. I hate to say this, Keith, but I'm going to say it. Because, you know, we be objective on our show. You know, we don't hold no personal biases or nothing. I think Deontay is holding up the heavyweight division right now. I think he's been a little selfish. He's letting his pride be the dictating factor in his decision-making. He should let Fury fight Joshua, and then he should have some kind of language in his contract where, since he foregone his trilogy fight, that he would get a shot at whoever wins the fight between Joshua and Fury. And I think in between that time that Joshua and Fury are building up to their fight, he should actually take on possibly a new trainer, possibly have another fight while he's waiting to work on some defensive skills, head movement, and other things that he didn't have against the fight against Fury. So I think he's going to end up pulling out the fight. I think he's going to probably come up with an injury or something. So I don't think the trilogy fight going to happen until after Joshua versus Fury. But I think his pride led him to make this decision for the trilogy fight.
Okay, so do you mainly think it's like his camp and just like the people around him just hyping him, saying like, oh, you know, you got this. You could fight him again. You'll get him next time. Kind of like people talking in his ear more than him actually wanting the fight.
Nah, I think this was all him. I don't think he probably consulted with his camp. Because if he consulted with his camp, they probably would have been brutally honest with him and told him that he has some things to improve on if he ever wants to beat Fury. So I think he made this decision himself.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to get your take on that real quick. And one more thing. No,
but,
go ahead.
But, Keith, you got to keep your eye on something, though. Floyd Mayweather says he wants to train Wilder. I don't know whether or not Floyd is equipped to train heavyweights, but we need to keep our eye on that factor, too. Because as everybody knows, Floyd was a great defensive fighter who could also counterpunch with the best of them. So we need to keep our eye on that.
Yeah, that's huge news too. Because it's funny, I have a good friend of mine who actually those are like his two guys in boxing. So I got to have to run that by him and be like, yo, your boy Floyd Mayweather wants to train your other boy Wilder for the Fury rematch. How you feel about that? I'm going to have to run that by him. He's about to be ecstatic. But now I'm going to ask you about this too. While we got the ball rolling, now we're going to see Dustin Poirier versus Dan Hooker in San Diego. How you feel about that fight? That's a real banger of a fight, bro.
Well, I'm going to put it to you like this. Me and you talked about it on the last show. I think Hooker is biting off more than he could chew. I think sometimes you have to ease your way into fighting the top guys. In a way, a lot of people say he really lost the fight against Felder. it was a close fight. I thought his little weak takedown in the fifth round gave him the edge. But he's definitely about to have a major step up in competition against the Diamond. I think Dustin Poirier has definitely been well-tested and battle-tested. He's fought some of the best guys. He's fought for the belt. He really didn't look too good against Khabib. That's because I think Poirier, like you just said about Ferguson, when you fight Khabib and top-notch fighters, your plan A isn't going to work. You have to go into the fight knowing that your plan A isn't going to work. And you got to be able to make adjustments, like Stipe did in the second DC fight. His corner noticed that the body shots were affecting DC, and they started preaching to Stipe, body shots, body shots, body shots, because they saw something. So they adjusted their game plan on the fly. So I think with Poirier, I think something that he could do different to put something on Hooker's mind is to take him down. Because we haven't seen Hooker fight off his back. everybody stands up and fights him. And I think if you make him do something or put something in his head that he ain't had to do before, that you will see a different him, and you won't see him coming forward as much. You'll probably see him going back a lot because he's thinking. So I think Poirier probably can get him out there with his hands. He probably can finish it with his hands. But I would like to see him, you know, incorporate some new stuff to his game, because he was totally dominated when he fought Khabib. And I would like to see, has he made any changes in his game, starting with his fight with Dan Hooker.
Yeah, Poirier didn't look too great, I mean, against Khabib. But at the same time, though, we can't forget about that, I don't know, was it a rear naked choke? Was it a guillotine? It was, I want to say it was like a guillotine choke that Poirier locked in on Khabib at one point in the fight. And we cannot act like that choke was not tight, because Khabib himself said that it was tight, and he thought it was over at one point. And it was seconds from being over. He almost tapped Khabib. We're not going to act like he did it. He was very, very close. And I thought that was going to be it in that moment.
I mean, no, we ain't going to act like that didn't happen. But at the same time is, he still was dominated. If you take that choke attempt out, that choke was there, if you take that away, he probably lost every round by at least a 10, maybe 10-8, because he was totally dominated.
Yeah, he did get pretty much dominated, though, the rest of the fight. I do think, though, Poirier is multiple notches above. I believe Poirier, even though he was dominated by Khabib is multiple notches above Poirier, but Poirier is multiple notches above both Paul Felder and Dan Hooker, to me. And
I agree.
And I think that Poirier is going to smoke Dan Hooker in this fight. That's my prediction. There will be no change of my pick. There will be no change. As long as Poirier, like, looks healthy at the weigh-in, which he always does, he always looks to be in great shape. He never looks like the weight cut was killing him or anything like that. Even though he says that he'd rather be like a 162 or 170 division because that's a better weight for him, it never looks like he was in rough shape, you know, just making the weight or anything. So I know he's going to come in looking good and healthy. And, you know, as long as that's the case and there's no freak accident or anything like that, I think Poirier is going to smoke Hooker.
I totally agree. I think Hooker's back to what I was just saying about Poirier. I think Hooker's best chance is to switch his game up and make Dustin think a little bit by going for takedowns. You know, don't just take him down and let him get up, but take him down, try to advance your position, try to go for submissions, try to do something like that to have Poirier thinking. So I think whichever guy can do something different in their game plan will definitely put the other guy to disadvantage. But I think Hooker is going to do what he always do and try to make it a stand-up battle. And if he do that, Poirier going to get him up out of there.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. You know, one thing I'm actually watching right now, speaking of what you were saying before about Sean O'Malley, for everybody, we were talking, you know, off camera, and we were just talking about Sugar Sean O'Malley, and you know, y'all know he has the main event in the prelims. Yeah, I believe it's the main event of the prelim card. You know, right before it's the last fight before the main card kicks off. Sean O'Malley's fighting. I want to say his name's Jose Quinones.
Yeah, Jose Quinones.
Yeah, and actually, though, Quinones is not a slouch. He's a good fighter. This is a really competitive matchup, in my opinion. I don't know what the odds are at or what the consensus is on the fight, but that's a very competitive matchup, and I'm actually not sure, like, about it.
Sean O'Malley might get his first loss in that fight. I don't know. I mean, he's undefeated, but he could take his first loss versus Quiñones. I really think so because he's a tough guy. I remember watching his last fight. He's a beast. And that, you know, even when you look at the records, it's easy to lean towards the undefeated guy. But the undefeated guy in this case also hasn't fought guys that are particularly high level. And this is probably the highest level guy he's fought yet, in my opinion. And it's a big jump up in competition. So I'm really not sure about that one, but I am excited to see it just because it's a highly competitive match. I think it's going to be a good one. That's a great fight. That's a great fight to really
to
like. It's like hit the ground running with the pay-per-view because that's going to leave off on a really high note to kick off the pay-per-view. So I think that whoever decided that to be the main event was smart because that's a great fight.
I really wanted to see O'Malley versus Marlon Vera. That fight got canceled because of the Nevada commission. They wouldn't allow O'Malley to fight. But I really wanted to see him versus Marlon Vera. Marlon Vera is still calling for the fight. So maybe after both of them fight, especially if O'Malley wins, and if Vera wins his next fight, then we'll get those two in the match together. But on with you. Can't sleep on Quiñones, man. Quiñones is a talented guy who has a lot of tricks in his bag. And when you look at him, he looks very unopposing because I was watching the weigh-ins. I was like, he really don't. Okay. Nothing special really jumped out, you know. But the guy can go. He can really scrap. So the UFC really didn't do O'Malley any favors with this fight. So we'll see if he real in this fight. Is O'Malley, is the hype is real. I think if the hype is real, I think we get him versus Marlon Vera later on this year if Marlon Vera wins this fight. So I'm looking forward to that also.
And Marlon Vera is not on this card, right? He got moved to another card?
No. Yeah, he's coming. I want to say he's UFC Fight Night that's coming up.
Yeah, Marlon Vera is a beast. That would have actually been even another notch up in competition because I would take Marlon Vera to beat Quiñones. I would make the easy pick for Marlon Vera, even though I think it'd still be a competitive fight. I just think Marlon Vera is a level or so higher than him, and that would be a crazy one down the line. Marlon Vera is a beast. Like the memories I have of watching him fight is either watching him just dominate guys or watching him like get a brutal finish. So like that's the only like memories I have of watching him fight is just being completely dominant in one fashion or the other. So yeah, that's going to be a really good one down the line. And the crazy thing about this card too is to just keep the momentum going in that way is would you believe that you pretty much have, I want to say the Darren Wynn fight, which is also on this card, which is pretty crazy. The Darren Wynn fight is the prelim co-main event. And then you have the Sean O'Malley Quiñones fight as the main event. And then right after that, when you kick off the main card, you have you have Oliveira fighting what's his face there? And that's another crazy fight. Who's Cowboy Oliveira is fighting?
He's fighting
it's a banger of a fight though. That one's gonna be a good one.
Yeah, he's fighting the top guy too, man. And when I was watching the weigh-ins, I was like, man, this card is actually pretty stacked. Marlon Vera is fighting Weiland next. He's fighting Weiland March 12th. March 28th. So he's actually fighting this month also. So if Vera and O'Malley wins, we get them sometime in July.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of a – I'm kind of like suspect about that matchup because I don't know why they put
Marlon Vera versus Eddie Wineland. Eddie Wineland's kind of like old in the UFC.
Watch.
Like, not to say that he's not, yeah, like not to say that he's not good. Like he's still got skills, but I just feel like he's kind of like past his time a little bit. And you're putting him versus like Marlon Vera, who's probably gonna like run right through him. I don't really understand what the thought was with that matchmaking. That fight kind of seems like one that they just put together because they were like, you know what, we don't have anything else, and we want both these guys to fight on the card. So we're just gonna do this one. I feel like they just didn't have any other options because that fight doesn't really that don't really move the needle for me.
Not for me either, because I was when I saw it come across Twitter, I was like, damn, they got Marlon Vera taking a step back in competition. Because Eddie Wineland, man, he's been in the game a long time. But
yeah.
Cowboy Oliveira is fighting Max Griffin.
Okay, yeah, that's a fight. I knew it was somebody that was game. I just couldn't think of. Yeah, see, that's like one of those where it's like, neither one of those, as far as I know, neither one of those guys is ranked, but those are two beasts, like, in the non-ranked circuit, in the non-ranked realm of things. You know, Max Griffin is a beast, so that one's going to be a good one. That could be fight of the night, honestly. And there's a lot of possible fight of the nights in this card, but that could be it.
I think my fight of the night is going to be Beneil Dariush versus Jakar Close. I think that fight is going to give you everything that you want and more because Close has heavy hands and Beneil Dariush, he isn't a heavy puncher, but he uses punches to set up his ground game. Man, I think that fight is going to be a sleeper fight. Although it's on the main card, I think that's a fight everybody should keep their eyes on.
Yeah, no, I mean, every time there's a Jakar Close fight, every time there's a Jakar Close fight, or Jakar Close fight, every time it always ends up being a really good one. Even if my eye wasn't really on it initially, when I do end up seeing it, it ends up being a great one. I remember one of the last times he fought, and then I was like, wow, that was a really good fight. I want to say he fought your boy Bobby Green. That wasn't literally his – like, that wasn't his last fight, but it was the last one I remember where it wasn't really on my radar as much. And then, like, once I realized they were fighting each other and it was going on live, I was like, wow, this is a good one. I don't know how I kind of was sleeping on that, but he always kind of is in those type of fights where you don't really, or at least for me personally, I don't usually have my eye on it. And then, like, even if, like, he's fighting the guy, I'm not really familiar with the guy he's fighting. Once the fight is on, I'm like, okay, this is a good one. Like, he always puts on a good show. That's going to be good.
He fought my man Bobby Green. He won a unanimous decision. I think that was probably one of the decisions that Bobby really couldn't argue about because
it was a suspect decision.
I think that fight was the one. Yeah, was that the one that Bobby was like, he felt he won, but they gave
it
to him by the
end?
It was the one fight.
Because I remember I thought Bobby Green won too. And then when they had the decision, I was kind of shocked. And then the people I was with were like confused that I was shocked. And I was like, nah, man, they really just, okay, I couldn't believe they did him that way. Like that was just really, and then I wasn't surprised because then Bobby Green, I think he retired after that decision and I don't blame him because he was disgusted. I'd be the same way. Like, I'm a good sport, but I get, you know, something like that. If I was a fighter, I would take that hard, man, because you put in so much work with the training camp, and then you feel like you did great in the fight, and then you get robbed of the decision. Like, man, I can't. I don't blame him. But he came back, though, didn't he, Bobby Green? Didn't he fight again after that?
Yeah, then he got jobbed on the decision against Francisco Trinardo.
Yeah, the UFC's had a lot of suspect judging. And Trinaldo is from Brazil, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so you know how they like to do it over there. You know how it would be when they did when they got the judging in Brazil, even when they have – there's a lot of commissions that have suspect judging, but definitely –
If you're fighting a guy in Brazil and he's from out there,
you better knock him out.
Well, you may get robbed in the fight.
Yep. Yeah, because my thing is, when you go to somebody else's home country, you better knock them out or submit them, because if it's close, they somehow find a way to pull it out. Unless you are totally, totally dominant.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the way that it seems to be. You know, I think now is probably a good time for us to start jumping into our predictions for the card. You think not ready to go?
Ready, bro. All
right. So let me pull up the full card right now. We're just going to get these predictions wrong. We'll see where we want to start right quick. ESPN. I'm just pulling up ESPN.com. Yeah. Okay, so I think what we'll do is, I'm not really familiar with the fights on the early prelims, so I'm not going to make a prediction when I really don't have enough knowledge to kind of make a prediction. So what I might just go ahead and do is, who do you have? So there's a few fights that I know of in the on the prelims card. So we'll start with Darren Wynn. So we got Darren Wynn is fighting Gerald Meerschaert.
I like Darren Wynn because, you know, he comes from the camp. I think he trains with DC in them. So that means he's a good wrestler. But when I was looking at the weigh-ins, he's giving away almost 8 inches in reach. I want to go with Wynn, but I'm gonna go with Meerschaert to get the win, and I'm gonna say by a split decision.
Yeah, Meerschaert has had a lot more fights. You know, he's had 41 fights in his career. Darren Wynn's only had 7 fights in his career. And Darren Wynn's actually the favorite. You know, he's a -150 favorite, but he's kind of close. I want to say I've seen this Gerald Meerschaert fight before. And I want to say I've doubted him in the past and picked against him, and I was wrong. And having 7.5 inches in reach over a guy is, and he also has, not only that, he's also 7 inches taller than Darren Wynn. So he's got like 7 inches in reach and he's 7 inches taller. So I feel like the size difference here, and he fights southpaw. So I feel like this is a very tough stylistic matchup or size. More size-wise, not stylistic, but tough matchup. Like just based on this guy, just his breakdown is just it's a tough fight for Darren Wynn, I think. I think I'm gonna roll with you. I think Darren Wynn's gonna lose again here because this is just it's gonna be hard. This guy, I feel like it's just gonna be too much. With the reach and the height, is going to be too big for him overall. Darren Wynn will look good, though. I'm going to go with Meerschaert by. Yeah, I'm going to roll with you with the split decision. I like that. I'm going to roll with you.
Plus, looking at Meerschaert record, he's lost 3 of his last 4 fights. So, he might be fighting to stay in the UFC. So, he might come out a little desperate. So, I think I'm going to go with Meerschaert because I'm looking at his record. He's lost 3 of his last 4, and he might be fighting for a job.
All right, and we'll jump right into the Sean O'Malley and Jose Quinones fight. Sean O'Malley's 10-0 versus Quinones is 9-3. Sean O'Malley's coming in at a -370 favorite, so he's a kind of a
big favorite right there. But I feel like the odds don't really tell the story of the fight that much, though, because I feel like, I mean, both these guys are both game fighters. Canonia looked like a beast last time I saw him. So, and O'Malley's been out for a while. He's had, like, a couple suspensions, and he really hasn't been in the game for a minute. And I want to say it's been, like, 2 years since the last time I saw him fight. Last time I saw him fight was the last time he fought. I'm pretty sure it was when Cyborg was in the UFC, and it's already been a while since Cyborg hasn't been in the UFC. So you can already tell that was, like, a little while ago. It was the card when – it was one of the cards when Cyborg fought, like, you know, she had that stretch fight and all, like, those no-name fighters from other organizations. Yeah, it was one of those headliners, and Sean O'Malley was I think he was, like, a co-main event or something like that. And that was the last time I think he fought. Right? I want to say that was 2 years ago, maybe even longer.
Yeah, that was March 2nd, 2018.
Yeah, see? Wow, man. I said I want to say it was 2 years ago. It was like a little – wow. I was on point, man. I know. I know my timing. I was on point. You got to give it to me.
He was – he actually fought on the main card. He fought in the fight prior to – Brian Ortega knocking out Frankie Edgar.
Yeah, now I remember that. You know, I think, I mean, when you look at the numbers, you'd probably give this fight to Sean O'Malley, but I'm going to give it to Quinones because I think Sean O'Malley is just going to have a lot of ring rust, and I feel like he's been out of the game for so long, kind of on the couch. I'm sure he's been draining, but Quinones has been active, and he looks good in his activity. I'm going to give the fight to Quinones. And I want to say I was impressed with his ground game the last time that I saw him fight. So I'm probably going to go with Quinones by second round, third round submission. I'm going to say Quinones third round submission.
Man, this fight is hard to pick because I'm looking at Quinones and who he's fought. And he really hasn't fought anybody. And then I'm looking at Sean O'Malley in his last fight. He really actually did fight a tough guy. Both of these guys really aren't finishers. Most of their fights have went to decision. I'm going to go against you this time, even though I don't know why I'm picking against Sean Quinones. I'm going to go with O'Malley, man, by split decision. I think this is going to be a fight where the first round is going to – Sean O'Malley might come out with a ball of fire, but being that he hasn't been in the octagon in a while, I would advise against that. I would probably come out in the first round, fill him out, you know, try to establish octagon control, you know, establish a jab or whatever if I was Sean O'Malley. And then maybe turn the pressure up in round two. And then, see how round three is going. But I think Sean O'Malley wins by split decision. And hopefully it sets up the fight that I want to see later on this year. Sean O'Malley and Marlon Vera.
Okay. And moving right on into Alex Oliveira versus Max Griffin. I'm going to let you jump right into this one first.
Oh, man, this is actually a tough fight to pick. Both guys are evenly matched. Charles Oliveira, he's a grizzled veteran. He's been in there against some of the top guys. I know his submission game is pretty good. Everything in me wants to pick Charles Oliveira. But I'm not. I'm going to go with Max Payne Griffin to beat Charles Oliveira via TKO in the second round. I don't know why I'm picking Max. But I just think his punching and his striking and his unorthodox striking style, I think will give Charles Oliveira some problems. I'm hoping that Charles doesn't try to wrestle him. because I don't know whether or not Max Griffin can fight from his back. And if he gives him a precarious position on the mat, would he be able to survive? That's the only thing that worries me. But I'm going with Max Griffin by KO in the second round.
You said Max Griffin, second round TKO?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Alex Oliveira, I mean, let me look at this. Yeah, you know what? I think I'm with you on this one. I feel like Max Griffin, even though you could argue that maybe he hasn't fought the level of competition Alex Oliveira has fought, but at the same time, both guys have, like, notable wins and have also taken losses in fights that you could argue they should have won. So, like, really, I mean, both have their wins and losses. Both have had good moments. I'd probably say, like, Max Griffin's, in my opinion, like, the more polished striker. And I do think that's where the fight will take place. I think this is going to be mainly a striking contest, and I think Max Griffin is gonna shine here. The underdog is gonna shine here. I think Max Griffin is gonna win. It's gonna be Alex Oliveira usually stays in there. Usually doesn't get put away too early. I'm going to say this one goes the distance. Max Griffin, I'm going to say it goes the distance, and Max Griffin wins by unanimous decision. And with that being said, that brings us right into the next fight. And we have your boy, Neil Magny, fighting this Lee Yinlang.
This is a
and Magny's actually the underdog.
And Magny is probably the underdog because he's coming off a suspension. This fight is actually tough to pick, but I think Neil Magny, every time you pick against him, he finds a way to win. I don't think he wins this fight. I think there'll be some ring rust when he fights this guy. I think Lee will win by unanimous decision, spoiling Neil Magny's return to the octagon. Now, if you put me on a confidence scale of 1 to 10, my confidence in picking this fight is probably at a 3 because you never know what Neil Magny you're going to get. So that's why my confidence isn't the greatest of picking this fight. But I'm going to say Lee wins by unanimous decision, spoiling Neil's Magny return to the octagon. And I think our next time seeing Neil Magny will be in the PFL Championship League next year. So I'm making 2 predictions.
Okay, so... Yeah, this one's a tough one to pick. I want to go with Lee Yinlang, but at the same time, I'm like, Neil Magny, statistics-wise, I want to lean to, man, this is a tough one. All right, when all hope is lost, I got to do it. So I'm going to take Lee Yinlang by third round TKO. Next fight is going to be your boy, Benil Dariush versus Dracar Close. I'm going to pick this one right out the gate, and I'm going to go with Dracar Close. I think he's going to – I've seen Dariush, you know, his chin is quite suspect, and I think it's been exposed to where Close is going to know what he has to do here if he want to end this fight and, you know, have kind of an early night. I'm going to go with Close by first round knockout.
I'm looking at Darius, his last six fights, and there's only two names. It's actually three names up here that we all know: Dober, Alexander Hernandez, and Evan Dunham. And he lost against Hernandez. He beat Dober, and he had a majority draw against Dunham. That being said, I am going to go against you in this fight. I'm going to go with Beneil Dariush. I think he nullifies closest striking by taking him down, making close fight off his back, and I think Beneil wins second round submission. That's his only chance of winning. He cannot get into a striking contest with close. He cannot survive that because of his suspect chin. So I see him making this into a ground fight.
All right, and that brings us steadily into our title fight number one of the night, where you have Zhang Weili versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk for the, is this the strawweight title? Yeah, I want to say this is the strawweight title. Yeah, for the, I want to say women's strawweight title. The strawweight title. Who do you have in this one?
I'm going to keep this quick and simple. As much as I like Joanna, I think Zhang Weili is going to show us some things in this fight that we haven't seen for her. I think Joanna has said that Wiley's style is simple and not difficult, and she has it figured out already. But everybody says that until they get punched in the face. And I think Wiley's power is going to shock Joanna. I think Joanna will keep the fight competitive, but I think she loses in the third round via KO, and Zhang will retain the belt, setting up, hopefully, Weili versus Thug Rose sometime this fall.
So I'm really torn on both this one and the title fight. I mean, I have my picks. I have my picks, you know, but it's like, if you told me to make my picks with a gun in my head, I would probably go with Weili and Adesanya if you had a gun to my head. But at the same time, I have so much faith in you in Joanna and Yoel Romero to dethrone both champions. And the reason why is because when you really look at it, Zhang Weili, she has 20-1 record, but like she only just started fighting like top talent in the UFC in like her last three fights. Like I couldn't tell you who she fought before that or who any of the 20 wins are, similar to Khabib's record. So that doesn't really do much for me. And I mean, she went the distance. I want to say Tisha Torres brought her the distance. She didn't finish Tisha Torres, and which is fine. You know, she doesn't have to. Torres is, you know, that's, I'm kind of biased with Tisha Torres, so I won't go into that. But yeah, I just feel I didn't see Weili versus Andrade, so I really can't like give my take on as far as that. But from what I heard, people just said that you know, Andrade just kind of went in there a little like overconfident and like she was like almost went in there like she was like couldn't lose, and she got knocked out. So if that was the case, then we all know fights like that kind of can be a little flukish when a fighter goes in there. It's kind of like Anderson Silva and Chris Weidman. Anderson Silva went in there similar, like he couldn't, like he was untouchable, and he got caught on the chin in the first fight. So it's similar to that. But then you could see in the long run, Silva was and is definitely the better mixed martial artist over his career. But that's aside from the point. I just feel like Joanna, like I said, if I had a gun in my head, I would pick Zhang Weili. But I just want to see Joanna win. And at the same time, I feel like Joanna has fought, like, her resume is so much better. And I think a lot of people are just on the hype train of Zhang Weili right now because of the way she knocked out Andrade in a fight where it wasn't really an Andrade who was hungry. It was Andrade who was, from what I hear, was kind of like more complacent and not as motivated. So I'm going to go with Joanna in this fight. I think Joanna's going to win by unanimous decision. That's what I think. Joanna, unanimous decision.
My only reservation with Joanna is she, I know you're going to hate this analogy, but I got to use it. Has she learned how to fight off her back if she's taken down? We don't know that. I was going to use the analogy like Conor McGregor. Like, Conor hasn't learned how to fight off his back. We know this. But that didn't stop him from winning the championship. When she won her championship, we never saw her on her back because her takedown defense was so good. So, and plus, I think when Joanna comes in overconfident, because she's really looked overconfident to me this week, and every time she's been super overconfident, the fight hasn't gone her way. And listeners, do not hold this against me when I say this, but ever since she got her boobs done, she really hasn't been the same fighter. I'm just saying.
Okay, so yeah, so
you don't even know where to go at with that.
Yeah, so I'm gonna let you have that one. We're just gonna go ahead and just gonna progress on for the greater good of the show. We're just gonna keep going, and so Israel Adesanya versus Yoel Romero for the middleweight title. This fight is an absolute banger. This is another Wiley's not technically undefeated, but Adesanya, I was going to say another undefeated champion, but legit undefeated champion versus Yoel Romero. And what I was saying to one of my friends earlier about this fight was that it's Yoel Romero, like, when you look at the face-off and just look at the size, and I'm sure, like, Adesanya has, like, the longer reach. Yeah, he's got, like, 6.5 inches of reach on Romero. Of course, he's got the height advantage. He's 4 inches taller. You know, he switches stances a lot. Very crafty striker, you know. I can see why he's a -320 favorite. And like I said, if I had a gun to my head, I would pick Adesanya because I just feel like he's probably the overall package more of an overall package than Yoel Romero is. But at the same time, I feel like Yoel Romero knows this is likely his last chance to fight for the title. Even though I could see him fighting for the title again, I just feel like he feels that pressure. I would think he feels that pressure from the UFC and just the way that he's looked in his interviews and the things he's been saying, kind of like the energy he's been coming with into fight week in the promotional aspects. I feel like he's just in a different mindset for this one. He's in a different headspace for this one. And he's the guy who wins when you don't expect him to win. And when he does that, it's in devastating fashion. We saw that when he fought Chris Weidman. We saw that when he fought Luke Rockhold. And, you know, he tends to be in explosive, devastating fashion when he wins big. And you know, as much as I could see Adesanya just, like, bobbing and weaving his way to a win, however that may go, decision or whatever, to finish whatever it is, I also think Yoel Romero has a big chance here to get a very flash, very, very, very much flash knockout of Adesanya and capture the title. And that would just be such a huge moment. And that's what I'm rolling with for this one. I think Adesanya is going to, you know, he's going to expect Romero to be tired early. And I don't really think that's the case. I feel like it's a misconception that Romero burns out. We've seen him fight long fights. You know, he fought 10 rounds with Robert Whittaker. I don't understand where people came up with that, but I don't know. You know, he just went 3 rounds with Paulo Costa. That was a crazy fight. You know, just looking back on the highlights from that one, that was crazy. So I feel like Romero was just really underestimated in this fight and really counted out in this fight. And like I said, when he's counted out is usually the times when he wins in big fashion. And I feel like this could be one of those times. And that, with that being said, I'm going to go with Romero. And let me just add to that right now. Now, before I make my prediction, I just want to add one more thing. Remember the last time we saw Adesanya fight a guy that he was much taller than and was overall the bigger fighter than when he fought Gastelum, a short wrestler, similar to Romero, but only Romero is much more athletic and has a 100% better build than Gastelum. And I would argue a much better gas tank than Gastelum. And Adesanya was rocked, you know, in a couple of different moments in the Gastelum fight. And he was looking really – he took some shots in that fight. That was the fight of the year and a great fight, but if you really look at it, he's lucky he made it out of that one. He's lucky he didn't get finished. I mean, if Gastelum didn't go for the takedown at one point, he probably would have won the fight. But that's neither here nor there. What I'm just trying to say is Romero can do that here, and I think he will. It's going to be Romero by fourth-round knockout.
Actually, that's funny because I was just about to say that if Romero gets him hurt, he won't. I was just about to say if Romero hurts him with a punch, he definitely won't go for a takedown. He definitely is not going to go for a takedown. I like that Izzy came out and he wanted to fight Yoel for his first title defense. I really like that. You know, he showed some cojones with who he wanted to take his first title defense against. Although Paulo Costa was supposed to be the guy, I think Paulo Costa would be next if Izzy wins. I do think Izzy has bit off more than he can chew in this fight. Yoel Romero is a tough guy. Like you said, he did go 10 rounds with Whittaker, although he's lost 3 of his last 4 fights. 2-1 was to Whittaker, 1-1 was to Paulo Costa, and some people felt that he did win that fight against Costa. I didn't see it, but some said that they felt Romero won. That being said, I am going to go with the champ. There's something about Izzy that he rises to the occasion when the lights are brighter. I think that he knows what happened in that Gastelum fight, that's going to be in the back of his mind at all times, and he's going to fight against that. I think he will definitely come in with a game plan of kickboxing Yoel Romero in this fight. I don't think he want to make this a stand-up fight because when he feels Romero's power, it might be a little too late. So I don't think he wants to go through that. So he will make this a kickboxing match. I think Izzy wins by unanimous decision, probably 3-2. I wouldn't be surprised if it's 4-1. But on with you. People have to stop with this narrative that Yoel gasses out. No, he doesn't. If you look at the Whittaker fights, if you look at rounds 4 and 5 in the Whittaker fights, he wasn't fading. He got stronger in rounds 4 and 5. And I think if Izzy goes in thinking that he's that Yoel Gas is out, he might get caught and get finished in the championship rounds. But
the fourth round? The fourth round.
Nah, I'm going with Izzy, man. I think Izzy wins by unanimous decision. I think he wins 3-2. I think Yoel will have some moments in the fight. I wouldn't be surprised if Yoel was to win, but I'm going with the champ.
Okay, there you have it. Adesanya versus the most athletic UFC fighter in the history of the UFC. It's going to be a marvelous fight. It's going to be a spectacular bout, and I very much look forward to it. And I hope you all enjoy the fights tomorrow. And to just finish off with, we like to give our final words as we close out. I just want to make a shout out and happy birthday to my cousin Brian. He turned 19 today. I don't know if it's yesterday or today or tomorrow, and parties today or something like that. But anyways, yeah, shout out to my cousin Brian. He turned 19 today. Kid looks almost exactly like me. It's pretty scary. It's impressive. But anyways, yeah, enjoy your birthday, man. Have a great one. And that's pretty much all I have. Everybody enjoy the fight tomorrow and have a great Friday night.
Yeah, and I'm going to close out by saying, tomorrow if you're out and about and you go somewhere to watch the fights, drink responsibly. Don't drink and drive. Take an Uber or a Lyft. Friday night special with me and Keys. We love doing these Friday night shows, especially right before a big fight. Actually, it was a long week this week. I had a long week at work this week, but this show made it, sent all that shit away, and I'm about to chill, waiting on my Lakers to play the Bucks. So everybody have a good weekend. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Live, love, laugh. Live your life to the fullest. Tell somebody you love them and have one good laugh every day. With that being said, Lee and Keys, episode 130. Signing off. Everybody have a great night. Peace.